أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة صدق الله العظيم. This surah is called Surah Al-Ghashiyah. The name of the surah is taken from the word in the first ayah of the surah, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Ghasha means to cover up something. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in different ayahs of the Quran about disbelievers especially, that they have a covering before their eyes. عَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةِ. That cover is covering their eyes so they cannot see the truth. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَىٰ. By the night, once it covers up everything, because the darkness of the night covers up everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Have you got the news of the overwhelming thing? Al-Ghashiyah in this ayah is referring to the Day of Judgment. Because of the hardships of that day, will be so overwhelming that everyone will get into it. There will be no way that anyone can escape from the hardships of that day. To the extent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, that even Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam on that day, they will be saying, Nafsi, Nafsi, I'm afraid about myself, I'm afraid about myself. And there is a long hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that day people will go to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and will request him to intercede on their behalf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just for the judgment to stand. And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, I'm afraid about myself. I can't go and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. Inna Rabbi ghadiba al-yawma ghadaban lam yaghdab qablahu mithlahu wa lam yaghdab ba'dahu mithlahu. Allah is so angry today. He was never so angry before. He will never be so angry after this day. I can't go and talk to Allah. And it's a long hadith. People will be going to different Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, requesting all different Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, please intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our behalf just to stand the judgment, because the sun is too close to our heads, is only a fist away from our head, and we need judgment, the judgment to stand, so at least we will be out of this place. Kuffar, although they will know that they will be going to hellfire, they will think that getting into the hellfire will be better than standing at this position, and they won't know what's coming next. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore calls the Day of Judgment. This is one of the names of the Day of Judgment that's given to Quran to Day of Judgment in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Al-Ghashiyah. The thing that will cover up everyone, that will affect every person in the universe. There will be very few incidents in the world that will affect each and every person in the world. And this might be the only event that will affect every person from the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam up to the Day of Judgment. Whoever and whichever human being came to this world, this life, will affect that person, and he will be up on that day, and he will be affected by the Day of Judgment, and he will be part of one of those people who will be going through these hardships and facing this Day of Judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning two different type of people. Of course, as we come out of our graves, everyone will be afraid. People won't know what's happening. They will be running here and there. And finally, now people will realize, oh, it's a Day of Judgment. The judgment is about to start. And then, after some time, the judgment will start after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on behalf of the human beings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the judgment will start. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ. Some faces that day will be humiliated. خُشُوع. We say in Salah we need خُشُوع. What is خُشُوع? خُشُوع means putting yourself down. خَشَعَ, putting ourselves down. Bowing down. Bowing down is خُشُوع. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says some heads will be down on that day. They will be downcasted. Why? Because those are the people who thought they are too great in this life. So on that day, they will realize that they were nothing. Those people will be humiliated on that day. They will keep their heads down because of the humiliation that they will be facing and they will be seeing on that day because of the deeds that they have sent up front and because of the things that they have done in this life. And the next ayahs are very amazing. عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. عَامِلَةٌ. عَمَل means work, actions. To do any type of work is عَمَل. عَامِلَةٌ means a person who continuously keep on working, struggling hard to achieve something. نَاصِبَةٌ is driven from نَصِب, which means getting tired. So, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ, laboring, toiling, which means working very hard and then tired. نَاصِبَةٌ, very tired. These are the people, these will be the faces of those who work so hard in this life to get the worldly gain. Day and night working to get the worldly gain and establish this life. They like to establish their homes, and then in the house they like to establish their furnitures and need all sorts of comforts in the house. Get everything they think that they can, something that they can benefit from in this life. Trying to get better and better every day from the worldly point of view. Looking better. Behaving or having a better position. More earnings. Better work. Always looking for higher positions according to the worldly gains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day, as these people will see the Day of Judgment, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ, they have worked very hard, but these people will feel so tired that day that we wasted all of that, our life, for nothing. We worked so hard, and here we have nothing of that, and nothing else because they did not work for that life. This is why there will be عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. There will be, those are the people working hard, but at the same time very tired. Imagine a person who keeps on working so hard, not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, not even for a year or 2 years. He spends the whole life working for something, and at the end, the results are all against him. Imagine what will be the situation of that man. A person who works so hard, hoping that he will achieve what he wants. And finally, when he feels, now is the time that I have really achieved it. In seconds, the whole situation turns around and he's totally on an opposite situation. What will be the situation of that person? What is it that that person will face that time? What will be the feelings of that man? Rasulullah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, this is exactly what will be the situation of those who are spending their time and their energy, their efforts, everything just to get the worldly gain. In seconds, because these are the people who of course must have heard, and millions of them have, and zillions of them have earned a lot in this life. And the time that felt, mashallah, now I have enough, I have got a lot. All of a sudden, the angels of death come to this person, take his life away from him. And now the whole situation turns the other way around. And he realizes, after a work of 50 years, 60 years, such a hard work, where he did not care about his life, about his children's life, his children's education, his wife, his relatives, his parents, he ignored everyone in this life and everything in this life, and he got what he wanted, and in seconds he realized everything turned against him now, and now he does not have none of those things that he spent all of his life working for. What will be the situation of that man? This is exactly what will be the situation of those people who worked so hard to gain the worldly gain and they forgot about akhirah. عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. They worked very hard, but they will be very tired, cursing themselves. Why did I work all that hard for just that dunya? Now I have nothing. نَاصِبَةٌ. He's so tired and he doesn't have a place to rest anymore. That's it. No place to rest anymore. A person who was always looking for the comfort of life. He never rested to get the other things that will give him a good rest at the end of his life. Subhanallah. What is our thinking? If we really look into our souls, judge our lives, those people who really get satisfied, who might get satisfied, and I don't even think anyone does, who might get satisfied with enough wealth that they have earned, might be in their 50s and 60s. Which simply means, if he gets a good chance to use these things, will be for 10, 15 years. Then he's gone. And after that, all of this work is just gone wasted. Nothing. Subhanallah, nothing. All of those nice beds at home, the comforters, couches, fridges, every food that's sitting in all the food that's in the fridge, and all the money that's sitting in the account, the cars that are parked outside of the car, all of these things of comfort that we had, the person goes in seconds, turns around, he opens his eyes up, and he sees the angels in front of him, everything out, he's not going to get nothing. Now, all he has is deeds. These deeds will decide whether he will have any comfort over there or he will have any life over there or not. And life means a good life, of course, everyone will live. Whether he will have anything to do, any means of comfort over there, or he will not have nothing over there. Aliyazu billah. Amilatun nasiba. People, some faces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, will be downcasted. They will be humiliated, looking down. And they will see from their face, the person is very tired. He worked very hard. And at the end of his work, at the end of the day, at the end of the year, at the end of the life, this man is very tired, empty-handed, got nothing out of whatever he did. And this is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, أُنَاسٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعٌ, that there will be people. He said, وُجُوهٌ, because the inner feelings. Wujuhun means faces. But really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us people will be humiliated that day. Not only faces are humiliated, the person is humiliated. That person is tired, not only the face is tired. That person is tired after working so hard and getting nothing out, no results. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said wujuhun, so that we know that this is the thing through which we know the inner feelings of the person. When you look at the face, you can tell the inner feeling of the person. You look at someone's hand, you can't tell without looking at the face. You can't tell whether the person is tired or he has a lot of energy. But you look at the face, you might tell by the face, oh, you look too tired today. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ. And then these will be the people. These are the faces who worked so hard and now they are tired. And they have nothing out of what they earned. They realize they wasted everything. And these are the people, tasla naran hamia, they will be entering into a blazing fire. Walayazu billah. Tusqa min aynin aniya, and will be offered a boiling spring water to drink from. Ayn means the spring. And Aniya means a water that's boiling to the maximum point and it's to the lowest temperature. There is no way to boil the water any more than what it's boiling at that point. That is Ayn and Aniya. That's the boiling fountain. There will be, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, in the hellfire. Within the hellfire, there will be fountain. And that fountain will have boiling water. In this ayah, although the word water is not used, but boiling, and they will be drinking it, so it should be something like a water that they would be drinking. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah, from where that water will be coming. What's the source of that water? How come this fountain is in the hellfire? There has to be somewhere back up that the water keeps on coming into it. The other ayah explains, وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ. No, that's another ayah. There is an ayah that refers to drinking وَيُسْقَى مِنْ مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ, and he will be offered a water which will not be really a water. Sadeed, it will be the pus. In another hadith, in one of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that the people in the hellfire, as they will be getting burned. So when the person gets burned, he starts getting pus. And as the people will have pus in their bodies, they will be scratching themselves because it's burning. So they will scratch themselves. And the pus is dripping from throughout the body. This pus will get at one place. And that will be the pus that will get into the form of a river and of a stream. And all of the people in the hellfire, they will be offered the water just from that same river, from that stream, and from that spring, that will be the pus of the people of the hellfire. That's the only drink people will get over there. تُسْقَى مِنْ عَيْنٍ آنِيَةٍ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. They will not have any food over there except for ضَرِيعٍ. What is ضَرِيعٍ? I don't think, although some people try to translate the word, this word, but I don't think we have ضَرِيعٍ in this life. Because as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, ذَاكَ الطَّعَامُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. That's the food of the people of the hellfire. And those things that are there will be there for feeding the people of the hellfire. We don't have it. All we know the description of it from the hadith, that is a poisonous, thorny plant that does not need water to grow, does not need the dust to grow. It grows in the fire, because it will be in the hellfire. So it is a type of plant that will grow in the fire and does not need any water, dust. It grows in the fire and is a poisonous and thorny plant. The people of the hellfire, as they will get hungry, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, that those people will be so hungry that they will feel that the hunger is a worse punishment than the punishment of the burning. Imagine a person is getting burned and he feels that he is in a worse punishment than the one that we can see. And that is the hunger. And really, hunger is a type of punishment. When a person gets hungry, he can do anything in that situation. To save their lives, people do a lot of things. We find in the world, people got into a situation that they had to eat the flesh of their own dead brothers to save their lives. Hunger is such a thing, and thirst is such a thing, that we have to satisfy this stomach by putting something in it. Otherwise, the person knows that this is something that is life-taking, and is such a terrible thing that no one can take this thing. This is a punishment that no one can take it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when these people will face the hunger and the hellfire, they will not see anything else to eat. They will see that plant over there in the hellfire. That's a very thorny plant. And it is. They also know that it's poisonous. And poisonous simply means that it's bitter and doesn't have any taste in it. But they will decide something has to go to the stomach, into the stomach. We have to eat something. So they will decide to go and eat from that plant. But whenever a person eats something, he really wants two things from that food. One is to satisfy his hunger. Something goes into the stomach, so it means he's not hungry anymore. Something that satisfies his hunger. And the second thing we look into the food is that something that will nourish the body. And of course, nowadays we go to a third thing also. We look for the taste of the food because of abundance of food that we have. We have so many different items that we look for the taste of it. But we see people who will never think about the taste of it. Even these days, those people who are suffering different parts of the world, Iraq, Chechnya, and different Somalia, those parts of the world, those people, if you offer them a date, they are not going to think, take a small bite of it, let me see how does it taste, no, I didn't like it, throw it in the garbage. Let's try to get the other one. I don't like this thing from this company, I like it from the other company. And you prepare some rice for them, and they'll tell you, I don't like this white rice, I like the other type of rice. So, those are the people who will not run after taste. They will run after food. That's it. They need food. And food they need for two reasons. Nourish the body, they have a strength. Number two, satisfy their hunger, because it's a type of punishment that they can't take it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this dari'ah that will be in the hellfire, is such a food, is such a plant, that once people will eat it, la yusmin wa la yughni min jur, it will neither nourish nor will satisfy the hunger. Will not do neither of the things. So these people, after eating that bitter and thorny plant, hurting themselves by eating it, and thorns getting everywhere in the tongues, in the mouth, in the stomach, and finally they will find out it is not satisfying the hunger. Neither nourishing the body, nor is satisfying the hunger. So need something else. They keep on looking for something else. Look all around, can't find anything. Let's eat more of this dariya. And they will eat more of the dariya. It still is not satisfying their hunger, because it's a type of plant that does not have the quality of satisfying the hunger. It will never do that. It's created in such a way. What a punishment it is. Sometimes, especially non-Muslims, when they hear ayahs of this kind about this type of punishment, they question, how come you people believe that God will give such, and will ayazu billah, we are just quoting their words, we don't believe in these words, as they would call it, harsh punishments. The thing is very simple that we have to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not that He has hidden all of this information in Lawh al-Mahfuz, that okay, let them do all the wrong things, let them commit all the sins, and once they'll die, I'll get them into the punishment and I'm going to punish them then. It's nothing like this. He put it up front, black and white, in front of us. Everyone knows it. All the prophets came. They brought a divine book. Here a person comes. His prophethood is proven to people. There is no way in the world anyone can reject the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then try to prove the prophethood of any other prophet of Allah, because if they bring any proof about the prophethood of any other prophet of Allah, we have stronger proofs that will prove the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No way that they can believe in anything else if they don't want to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amazing situation. People believe in histories. Nowadays, they are running after histories. They find a bone under the ground. They believe in everything that's attached with the bone. They put it in the machine, and the machine tells them is 50,000 years old, and they will believe that this bone is a 50,000 years old. And here a prophet of Allah comes with a revelation, with facts, and they don't want to believe that. They don't believe in these miracles. They don't see in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that a clear sign that there is a stubbornness over there? They are not looking for the truth. Otherwise, a person believes in all of those things, which in many situations really you have to say, many of these things, nonsense. Running after whether a human being in the 10th level became a human being or in the 5th level, and before that he was a monkey. I mean, these are the things that make no sense, and they will believe in all of these things. A person comes and he says that this is a theory. He wasn't there. He did not see none of these things. Here a person comes and he says, I'm the Prophet of Allah, and I'm bringing things that will challenge every other book, that will tell you the facts about this life, that will tell you things. He's even not only that he's showing us the miracles, not only that he's bringing the book of Allah, not only that he's coming with the claim. In fact, this Prophet of Allah is even telling us things that will be taking place in the world. And we see his things, his words, word by word, are taking place just exactly the way he mentioned it. And yet, we don't believe in the prophethood of that person, of that Prophet of Allah, and we believe in every other historian. Of course, this by itself is explaining that these people are really not interested in finding the guidance. If they were really interested in finding the guidance, they will come to the book of Allah. And those who are, they are already in it. And they are coming, day by day they are coming. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was mentioning, when these people feel that these punishments are too difficult, and wal'ayazu billah, they would say harsh punishments, it's something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us. If you do these things, this is what you get. You do the righteous things, those are the things that you will get. There is a Jannah, there is this in the Jannah, and everything that's in the Jannah is mentioned in the Quran and in the Ahadith. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a choice. You choose this route, and this is where this route is going to lead you to. And there is other route that will lead you to other place. And it's your choice, you choose whichever you want. And we choose the route that is taking us to all of these punishments. And then I say to this man, or I say to this person, you know, the thing that you have written at the end of the route, there are so many snakes over there, or this will lead me to jungle and there are lions over there. This is too harsh. Don't talk of things like this. Don't say that there will be lions over there. Don't say that there will be snakes over there. Say no, there will be cats and rats over there. Of course, that person is telling us the fact that if you choose this, this is what you're going to be facing at the end of the road. So, you better not take it. And here I take it, and I blame that person. Then why did he say that this is over there? Whose mistake is this? Simply, it's my mistake. He is only informing me that this is what is leading you to. And he is telling me that this is another direction that will lead you to this. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clearly telling us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the other type of people, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَعِمَةٌ. There will be faces on that day that will be very joyful. Faces will be joyful that day. You will see from the face that the person is pleased. He's very happy. Why is he happy? Because he worked for that life. And he worked so hard for that life that now this person feels that this is the life I was looking for. This is the day that I was waiting for. Now I will get the reward for all the good things that I have done. This person worked very hard in this life, but after working very hard, when you see the good results of your work, the person will be really joyful. You work so hard and to pass the exam, and at the end, when you find that, mashallah, you made it real good, although you did not sleep for nights because you were preparing for this exam. Day and night you are studying. You are so tired, But the time you see the result, you forget about all of the tiredness. And people see you enjoying. Now you're sitting with your friends for hours. You're ready to stay awake for another night. Whereas in the same class there was another person who worked just as hard as you work, but that person did not make it. Go and see the situation of that man now and see the face of that person now. So wujuhun yawma idhin na'ima. Other faces on that day, they will be very joyful. لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَا. Pleased with their efforts. All the effort that they put. The first type of people, عَامِلَةٌ nasiba. These people are لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَا. These people are very pleased for their efforts. سَعْي means putting our effort. رَاضِيَا, they are pleased. That I put the effort in the right place. Here I will be getting the reward for my effort. Here where I'm going to be paid for all the effort that I put in that life. لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَا. And this is exactly what we need. That we work in this life, spend the life in this world in such a way that finally we should be pleased with our efforts. And on the Day of Judgment, we should be celebrating that it's good, okay, alhamdulillah, I'm happy that I came to this day. That life was very tiring and this day is better for me. لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَا. As one of the battles, one of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in went to the commander in chief of the Muslim army, who was Sa'd radiallahu anhu, and he said to him, Sa'd, today I'm ready to go back. Do you have any message for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imagine. Look at the type of talk. Look at their confidence. Any message for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Today I'm jumping in the battlefield and I don't want to come back from it. I really want to be merged in the path of Allah. I want to work hard. Of course, it's not in his hand, but he wanted to try. And now he's saying, if he gets to there and he achieves whatever he wants, O Sa'd, any message for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said to him, yes. When you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please give him my salam and tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are still struggling to convey the message of Islam and struggling to continue with his effort and his work that he was doing in this life. لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَا. Bilal radiallahu anhu, before his death, his wife was crying, so he said, don't cry. غَدًا نَلْقَ الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَحِزْبَهُ. Don't cry. I'm very happy because tomorrow I'll be seeing all of my friends. I will meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the other Sahaba. So therefore he's celebrating that he's going back tomorrow. Where is he going back? He's going back to his home. He's going back to his real family. He's going back to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam. Just like one of us might be away from his home for a long time and looking forward to go back to his family, and the time that comes, the person will be celebrating, oh, tomorrow I'll be seeing my family. So this is how Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam were going back from this life, that tomorrow we'll be seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam. في جنة عالية, in a high garden. They will have gardens over there. لا تسمع فيها لاغية, where you will not hear a loose talk. لا تسمع فيها لاغية. There will be no loose talk in the Jannah. One of the very important qualities of the Jannah that Quran repeatedly mentions again and again, that people will not have any type of nonsense over there and any type of loose talk in Jannah. And on the other hand, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the hellfire, He says, in the hellfire you will see groups of people who are cursing at each other. That because of you I committed this sin. Because of you I committed that sin. You made me do this. Then people are cursing at the leaders. People are cursing at their elders. All the people and the elders are cursing at the youngsters. That because of you guys I did all of those things. So imagine that this is the situation over there and this is the situation in the Jannah. In Jahannam, people are cursing at each other. They are blaming each other. In Jannah, people don't have any type of loose talk. In fact, one of the ayahs so beautifully says Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَتَنَازَعُونَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا لَا لَغْوٌ فِيهَا وَلَا تَأْسِيمٌ. One person will be having a drink. And other person, يَتَنَازَعُونَ فِيهَا. He's going to pull the glass of his hand and drink that whatever drink was there. لَا لَغْوٌ فِيهَا وَلَا تَأْسِيمٌ. There will be nothing, no nonsense in there, and nothing, no sin. So they will not have any loose talk. They will be smiling. This will be one of the types of good time they will have, that a person is drinking, other person takes his glass and drinks his drink. And they will be all happy. That person is not going to curse. Why did you take my glass of water? لَا لَغْوٌ فِيهَا وَلَا تَأْسِيمٌ. So one of the great blessings in Jannah is لا تسمع فيها لاغية. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will not have any loose talk over there. In other words, a place where we will have this type of loose talk is an example of the hellfire, cannot be an example of Jannah. That cursing each other, blaming each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in these ayahs that that's the situation of the people of hellfire, of blaming each other and cursing each other. And the people of Jannah, لا تسمع فيها لاغية. No loose talk at all in the Jannah. فيها عين جارية. There will be a gushing spring over there. فيها سرر مرفوعة. High couches over there. وأكواب موضوعة. And cups that are set in places. Sisters normally ask that men always get hoor in Jannah. They talk about hoor in Jannah. What is it that we will get? I guess one of the good things they will get, that all the cups are already set in places. They won't have to work over there in the kitchen. لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة. And cups that are put in their places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that everyone is put in its proper place. And we won't have to do no work over there whatsoever. And these are really just examples. For example, the word cups or couches, beds. All of these things are just examples of the things that we use in this life. Otherwise, no comparison between the things that we will have in Jannah and the things that we will have in this life. You know, in this life, sometimes you have a totally broken chair. And in comparing to that, we have another couch. So you look at the broken chair and you look at the couch. So you call that a couch, you call this a chair. A person who doesn't know the difference, he says this is a broken small chair. That's a nice chair with some cushions on it. But in Jannah, the type of couches we will have, all of the couches of this life will be broken chairs comparing to that, or not even a broken chair. So everything that we have over there, these are just some names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using to make us understand some of the things that we will have over there. Otherwise, in reality, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. The things that we will have over there is such that no human being have ever seen, no eyes have ever seen such things. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. No ears have ever heard of the real things that we will have over there. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And no human being can even think of what we will have over there. For at the maximum we can think, oh, you are sitting on a very nice couch that will be very expensive to buy, and then some buttons that will put it up and down, fill the air in it and put it down. It might be even a remote control that will make you move around with it. I don't know what maximum we can think about it, but it's still Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. No human being ever even thought about the things that they will be getting over there. So, فِيهَا سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَ. There will be high couches over there. وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَ. Cups that are set in their places. وَنَمَارِقُ مَصْفُوفَ. And cushions that are lined up. Cushions will be lined up all around. So, the person will go and sit over there wherever he wants to sit. وَزَرَابِيُّ مَبْسُوسَ. And carpets that are spread out. Zarabi is a carpet. Carpets will be spread out. As I said, these are only some names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. You can say borrowing these names from the worldly things just to make us understand the comfort that we will have all over there. Otherwise, these are just names. In reality, these things that we have in this life will not even be the garbage up there. After mentioning all of these two different situations, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, what is it that we are supposed to do? of course, two different situations. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says some faces they will be humiliated that day. Other faces will be joyful that day. And then what these people will get, what those people will get. Both of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned some of these things that they will be getting there. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Don't they see at the camels how they are created? وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. At the heavens, how it is raised. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. At the mountains, how they are erected. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. And at the earth, how it is flattened out, how it is spread out. Four things. Sometimes people reading the ayahs think, we were talking about Jannah, Jahannam, now all of a sudden we move to the camels and mountains and earth and heaven. What is the relationship of these ayahs with those? And what, how the message continues from those ayahs to these ayahs and link between these ayahs is a very great link between these ayahs. And such a beautiful way of mentioning what is it that we are supposed to do is building the human qualities. When I read these ayahs, really, sometimes I have to sit and think about these ayahs for minutes and think how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning qualities that human beings need to develop in them. And at the same time, it makes us think that, for example, when we have, I will talk about my experience, you know, when a doctor gives his example, if you see a doctor giving a lecture and you don't even know he's a doctor, if he talks too much about medicine and patients, you'll know that he's a doctor. So a person in my field will talk about students and followers and these type of things that when you're a teacher, you think about the students. So when a teacher thinks about a student, you would like to see a special type of students, students that have these qualities. You work so hard to create those qualities in those students. Keep on talking to them, explaining to them. You tell them that these are the things that you really should work on. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about qualities in human beings. The Creator would like to see these qualities in human beings. What are these? What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn from the mountain, from the camel, how it is created, from the skies, how high they are, and how they have been raised up, and from the mountains, how they have been fixed in the ground, and from the earth, how it has been flattened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, O human being, learn from the camel how to work hard. How to work hard and how to benefit people. Camel is a very hard working animal. Keeps on working hard all the time. The quality in the camel is, you take him into the desert, doesn't require any water for 10 days. Doesn't require any water. This is why Arabs used to call him Safinatu Sahra, the ship of the desert. As far as the food, you don't have to carry the food for the camel because it eats the thorny plants and trees, and that is enough for him, for the camel. It's good for the ride. You get the milk from it also. It carries as much burden as you want on it. So many benefits, and people who have their farms, they do not even waste the urine and the,
dung.
And the dung of the camel. They don't even waste that. They use it back in their land. So what is it that you are getting, that you are wasting from it? So you are getting benefits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, look at this hard working animal. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ. Don't they learn a lesson from this camel? How it is created? How hard working it is? This is what a human being, especially a mu'min, needs to have. Every mu'min has to be a very hard working person for his deen, for his iman. And for everything, whatever, whichever field we go into, we should be very hard working people in that field. People in the world have to realize, just by seeing our work, that this person has to be a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one of his ahadith, you know, sometimes there are ahadith, when you read the ahadith, you don't expect to have some of those teachings in the ahadith. You might think that you want to learn something about salah, ibadah, tahajjud, zikr, tasbih, sawm, fasting, zakah, hajj. But when you read these type of ahadith, amazing ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Allah loves a mu'min servant. إِذَا عَمِلَ شَيْئًا أَتْقَرَ. Whenever he does anything, he perfects that work. Whatever work it might be. Whenever he does any type of work in his life, he perfects the work and does it perfectly. This is the quality that we need to have. Hard-working people. People who will work very hard in their field. And wherever they put their step, you see them working hard. No laziness you see in that ummah. The ummah that doesn't know the laziness, this is the type of ummah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam developed. And this is why he developed that ummah in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witnesses in Quran that those people who used to be involved in drinking every night and then go to sleep, and they are sleeping till late in the morning, and then they wake up and go into the farms, and now they are drinking and working in their farms and taking care of their animals. Those very same people, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. They used to sleep very little at night time. You don't see them resting. They only rest. You talk to those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, you find that each of them says that the only rest I'm looking for is once I go under the grave, under the ground, in my grave. In this life, I don't need any rest and I'm not looking for any rest. This is the same ummah. Those were the same people. Imagine, people who are used to drinking so much that every night they're drinking. This was their habit. And night for them, as soon as the sun sets, if we go back to the history, we find out that it was a habit of those people. In those days, normally habits everywhere. In Roman Empire, Persian Empire, those people were much worse. All of those, because they were not used to putting up too many lights. They used to put up lights. We shouldn't think that we are the only people who have these lights. They used to light up their streets and the streets outside of their homes. And this was the normal habit. They will get together outside of the house. And all the men will be sitting outside there and they will be drinking. In Roman and Persian Empires, the situation was worse because they were getting together in their clubs with all the haram things, everything that you can think of. Just like many of the places nowadays. So this was their life. Every night, having all of these things, in the morning, they will sleep late because forget about waking up early morning just by the sunrise. They will wake up late. And then they will start their day and finally they will end at the sunset, and again same thing, drinking and having fun and enjoying and going back to sleep. The very same people, they changed so much that now they hate that type of life. The thing that they used to call it fun, they hate it now. And now their understanding changed so much that now to them, this is really something that they love to do. قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. Not sleeping at the night time and getting up. One of the hadith attracts me all the time, makes me think about it all the time. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the bed. He was tired that night. He came, and as soon as he came into the house, he went into the bed. As he was laying down, in a few minutes, Aisha radiallahu anha says, these were the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Aisha, da'ini unaji rabbi. Aisha, I feel like talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me leave my bed. I want to go back and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He got up, started doing salah, and spent the whole night crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The thing that finished his salah, that stopped him from crying, was the call of Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he came and knocked at the door, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to call the adhan, it's time for salah. This is when he was tired. And he feels like what? Da'ini unaji rabbi. I want to go and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I feel like talking to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we need that type of quality. Hard working. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, we find him, whenever he did anything, was very hard working. And of course, he was the teacher of the ummah that taught the ummah that never be lazy. No laziness. And whenever you do something, you perfectly perform that action. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us that lesson from this ayah, that look at the camel. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Don't they see at the camel how it is created? So each and every mu'min should be just like that camel, very hard working and benefiting people. Not wasting anything in his life. Benefiting people from everything that he can do. And the second thing, our aims and goals should be as high as the skies. Those are our goals. That is what we want to achieve, and this is what we want to do. People think it's impossible. We feel it's not impossible. According to the people, when they look at us, they feel that these Muslims, غَرَّ هَؤُلَاءِ دِينُهُمْ. These people don't know what they're talking. Their deen have really, when they talk too much about their deen, these people became fundamentalists. And when they talk about their deen, this deen really have carried them away. This is what people will feel. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one of the ahadith, keep on doing the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hatta yuqala majnoon. Till the people will start saying that this is majnoon, this is insane, he doesn't even know this about this life. Recently I was reading an article, about a person from Jeffrey, I forgot his name, from New York Times. He went to Afghanistan and Pakistan and those countries, and he met people over there, interviewed a lot of people. And one of the things he wrote, very surprisingly, he said, I met some students over there in the Islamic schools, and I talked to them and I asked them, do they know anything about science, about computers? And they didn't know nothing about it. And I asked them, are you interested learning about them? And they said, no, we are not even interested. So I asked them, what is it that you want to learn? So they said, we are only interested in learning Quran and Hadith, that's all. So he's saying, in this world, they want to live in the world, and they don't even want to learn science and computer. Of course, this is their thinking. This is their thinking. And unfortunately, our thinking also. Many times, this is the exact thinking of ours, that live in the world, and you don't learn computer, then what is it that you're going to achieve? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Your aims and goals should be as high as these skies. Look high, and always keep on looking high. Don't look down. Don't say that this is enough for me. That's it. I am doing my salah. Alhamdulillah, I'm a good Muslim. That's enough for my iman. I'm keeping fast for the month of Ramadan. This is enough for me. I don't need to help the people in the, around the world. I don't have to worry about other people, other Muslims, whatever they are going through. I'm doing my salah. This is enough. I'm getting my ibadah. This is enough. I have my life. My life. I have my wife and children at home. I have my job. I'm satisfied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. This is not the aims and a goal of a Muslim. A mu'min cannot be of that kind. That just looks normally. This is what we are satisfied with nowadays. That you have a good job. We have nice house. We have a good family. We have good work. Alhamdulillah, I have everything I need. I don't worry about nothing that's going on in the world. That is not the life of a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Look at these skies, how high they are. And keep your goals also and your aims that high as the sky, and always keep on looking high and get this achievement, achieve that from your life. Imagine a person is hard working just like a camel and benefiting always just like a camel, and goals are that high. And the third thing is, وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. And look at the mountains, how they are erected and fixed firm in the earth. This person in his iman, in his deen, he's firm and he's really just fixed over there in his iman. Just like you cannot move the mountain, you have to make your way around the mountain. Same way this person is fixed in his iman, there is nothing that will move him out of his deen and his iman. So now as this person will be working, all of his goals and aims will be only for the deen, because he's strong. Today, nowadays, few things will take us away from our deen and our iman, will make us do work for other things other than our deen. Forget about ourselves, forget about the Muslim Ummah, forget about Quran, forget about the Hadith, forget about the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just a job. A person finds a job and the boss told him you cannot go for Salatul Jum'ah. That person says, you know, I have to make the money. This money, some dollars that he's getting over there, just those money, that those dollars were enough to take him away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another person finds a good position. Just because of that position is enough to take him away from his iman. A person is sitting in a meeting where he feels that all of these people are very high people, respected people. I'm sitting in a meeting where all of these are officials, government officials. So I can't tell them, excuse me for 5 minutes, I have to go and do my salah, or I'll just go in the corner and do my salah. So these people, the position of those people, the effect of those people is enough to take him away from his deen and iman. Some dollars, see, position, money, food. If these things are taking us away from our deen and iman, then how can we keep those high goals and work hard for our iman and our deen? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. See at the mountains, how they are fixed firm in the ground, in the earth. Same thing, O mu'min, you should get firm into your iman. Everyone should know that there is no way to move these Muslims away from their iman. We can never make them do anything wrong. We can never take them away from the Quran and Hadith, from their iman. I was reading in what they are hearing one of the scholars, Arab scholars, mentioning. He said, in Britain, one of the prime ministers said, if we really want to defeat the Muslims, we have to take 3 things away from them. We have to take 3 things away from the Muslim Ummah if we can really defeat the Muslims. One is Quran. We have to take the Quran away from them. The second is Jum'ah. Because even those Muslims who don't perform Salah regularly, at least they go for Jum'ah. And this is something really we realize. As soon as the Jum'ah comes, you see all the Muslims, they are getting ready. Everyone wants to get ready for the Salah and they go to the masjid. And now in Jum'ah, they see each other. At least they get to recognize each other. They listen to lectures. They get different announcements. So Jum'ah is one of the things that are affecting the most. One of the very effective things. And they're realizing that Jum'ah is one of the things that are keeping us in touch. The third thing is Kaaba. He said, these are the 3 things that we have to take it away from them. Quran, Jum'ah, and Kaaba. And of course, we have a lot of things that stand for Jum'ah, like the month of Ramadan, like Hajj. And Kaaba, of course, is a place where during the time of Hajj, you see millions of people are going there. Now even in Ramadan, millions of people are going to that direction. So, these people, and of course, people from all around the world are facing just to the same direction, keeping some type of unity amongst the Ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us these are the things. And number 4, after we learn from the mountains how to be fixed in our iman and not to be shaky and not to move away from minor things, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after you have all of these things, then humble yourself and learn from the earth how to be just spread down and have people step over you. You won't hurt those people and you don't consider yourself too big. 4 qualities. Learning how to be hardworking. Our goals and aims are high. Strong in our faith. Nothing shakes us up. And at the same time, very humble so that it's not hard for people to deal with us. These are the 4 qualities that are needed. Very important. Very beautiful qualities. Very great qualities. And not everyone can have them. See, when a tree, as the tree grows, the more fruit you have on the tree, the branches are going to be bending down. It's not that if you have more fruit, they will be even going higher up. The more fruit you have on any branch of the tree, the more it will be bending down. And the branch without any fruit will be standing up like that. Same thing a mu'min. A mu'min who's full of iman and taqwa, of real knowledge of his deen and the piety and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will always be bent down. People can get the fruit easily from him. And a person who doesn't have any fruit in him, you will see him standing like that. No one can talk to him, no one can benefit from him, he doesn't want to talk to people. So this is the difference between the real mu'min, a mu'min who's full of this fruit of iman and taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a mu'min that doesn't have none of these good things in him. So of course that person will always be standing up, because there is nothing that's burdening him. As a very well saying, that empty pot makes a lot of noise. You get an empty plate, it will make a lot of noise. Fill it up with something, food, something, it won't make no noise anymore. So always empty pots make a lot of noise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to learn this lesson also. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. At the earth, learn from the earth how it has been flattened, and how to keep yourself flat so that people can always be, easily can communicate with you, they can benefit from you. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remind, because your job is to remind, you are a reminder. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. You are not there, you are not in charge on them. You are not in charge over these people. مُسَيْطِرْ, that means you are not a person who will force them to do anything. All you have to do is tazkir, reminding. إِلَّا مَنْ تَوَلَّى وَكَفَرْ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَكْبَرْ. But those people who will turn away and they will reject your message, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَيُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَكْبَرُ. Allah will give him the worst punishment, al-akbar. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the akbar with his name normally. That Allahu akbar, Allah is the greatest. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that azab will be such azab, that azab will be also akbar azab. Which means it will be worst punishment ever human being can think of. Inna ilayna iyabahum. No one can escape from us, because inna ilayna iyabahum. To us, all of them will return. Thumma inna alayna hisabahum. And then we will judge them for all of what they have done. So everyone will be returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everyone will be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat al-Mustaqim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to follow the right directions of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to follow these ayahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem, get the message of Quran and practice it and follow it. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.